And thank God for the blood. Amen. Without the blood, where would we be? Lost. Well, take your Bibles now, if you haven't already found your place. Find it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. I want to preach a message entitled, Weariness in Well-Doing. Weariness in Well-Doing. Did you ever feel like sometimes as you're serving God over a period of time that you just get a little bit weary in well-doing? I think if we're all honest about it, we would probably agree that that can happen to us. I do know as a pastor that I've seen it happen to some people, so much so that they just quit. They got weary in well-doing and they quit. But here's the admonition of God to the saints of God, to the believers at Thessalonica, and to you and me right now. He says in verse 13, 2 Thessalonians 3, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." That isn't a suggestion. That's a divine imperative from God through His servant to tell you and I to do not get weary in well-doing. Now, what is well-doing? Well, let me say first of all, too, that he censures laziness. I sort of touched on that this morning, but look in verses 11 and 12 here. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." He's saying that basically one thing he's saying is there's no place in God's kingdom work for lazy Christians. Christians should not be lazy. And especially when it comes to the eternal work of Almighty God. Now what he's talking about is a summary of the whole Christian life. It could be summarized in these two words, well-doing. For that's exactly what the true Christian life is. Well-doing. I believe tonight that Christian work is well-doing. I really do. We are involved in God's work. I'm glad to be a preacher. If I'd have known you were coming out, I had you preach tonight. Because preachers like to preach as a general rule. Next time, let me know. Maybe you did and I forgot. I'm getting old, you know, but I don't think you told me. Amen. We love to preach. We enjoy preaching. God gives us a call to preach. And what a joy it is to be faithful, to try our best to be faithful and to serve the Lord. But it's not just the preaching. There are a lot of different areas where we are serving God that we don't need to grow weary in doing that. And these areas where we serve. For instance, many of you are Sunday school teachers. How many of you are Sunday school teachers? Raise your hand. Real high, real high. Look all across, from left to right, all over the auditorium. Thank you. Now, some of them skipped tonight. But anyway, you that are here, thank God you're here. We're glad you're here, and we'll remind them of that later. But teaching is well-doing. I remember some of my Sunday school teachers from way, way back. And I'm so glad they were there in place. And I'm so glad that they had a lot of patience with people like me. Good Sunday school teachers who taught me some of the very basics of the Word of God. You Sunday school teachers, listen to me. That is well doing. And I cannot every Sunday come by and say to you and shake your hand and say thank you for teaching. But let me say it publicly to you tonight. Thank God for our teachers and workers like that. We need you, and it is a good work that you're doing. Some of our dear people write letters to people to encourage them. And I could call some names, but I might miss somebody. But let me tell you, that is a good work. Because there are people out there who need to get a letter from somebody every once in a while. People who are going through trials, difficulties, heartaches. People are going through sickness. And that letter comes in the mail from somebody from the church. And let me tell you, that's well-doing. That will encourage their hearts. And some of you have received some of those letters, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Another thing that is well-doing, and don't forget it, is passing out tracts. wherever you are, giving out tracts and witnessing for the Lord. How many of you believe witnessing is well doing? Say amen. It's well doing. And yet so many of us fail to do that. We get weary in it. And the next thing you know, we just sort of back off and we're not talking to people like we used to talk to people. It's an exciting thing sometimes to talk to people like that. I was walking in the hospital the other day. I may have shared this with you, but a man was walking down the hall, had on a t-shirt, and it said, "Ask me." I thought, okie dokie. I'm glad you asked me to ask you. And so I asked him. I said, "Well, you said ask you, and I'm going to ask you. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" He was an African-American, and he was just jubilant. He said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "I know I'm saved, and I'm on my way to heaven." Well, that was good. That helped make my day. And there are other instances like that. But let me tell you, it is good to be soul-winning and witnessing. And we are living in a day and age where a lot of people are saying, "Well, soul winning is just easy believism and all of that kind of stuff." Let me tell you, it's still right to go out and tell people how to be saved. How are they going to hear if somebody doesn't tell them? Now, they may reject it. Brother Baldwin was talking about he and somebody being on visitation Saturday, and they came by. Was it you, Brother Wilett, was with him? And they went by knocking on doors and going house to house, and a guy came to the door, and he finally got to the door. They had turned around to leave, and the track fell down, and he turned back around, and Brother Baldwin was talking to him, telling him where he was from, and he just looked at him and smiled, and he said, "There is no God," and slammed the door. Now, you're going to meet people like that, but you just keep on going. You just knock on the next door, and the next door, and talk to the next person, and find somebody, and you're going to run across somebody sooner or later that's hurting, that's looking for answers, that knows what they have isn't working, and they come to Christ simply because you cared enough to tell them about Christ. Soul winning, witnessing, passing out tracts is well doing. Don't get weary in doing what is right. It's a good thing to do. We have track racks all around in all of these lobbies. Pick up some tracks, take them out, and let God take care of the results from those. You never know, and we'll never know until we get to heaven. Witness to people on purpose, on the way. Just like two of God's apostles did. As they were headed to church, they stopped and witnessed to the man. And they said, "Silver and gold have we none, such as we have, give I, such as I have, give I thee. Rise up and walk," or "get up and be saved," is another way of saying that. We need to witness on the way and tell others about Christ. Let me tell you another thing that Christians do that is very good. It is well doing, and that is praying. Praying. We need to be prayer warriors. It is always well doing. Listen. If you're walking with God and your heart's right, you're not harboring sin in your life, you're going to have your prayers answered. And the difference in mediocrity and getting the job done, the difference in really being successful and not, spiritually, in whatever area you're serving in, the real difference comes through prayer. I am a firm believer in prayer. If there was anything that I would attribute to any kind of success that I've had in the ministry over these many years, it would be attributed, as far as I'm concerned, to prayer. My wife can verify that I have a prayer life. And I thank God for the prayers. I may not have all of the natural gifts of some speakers and many of those things, but I can tell you one thing, God answers prayer and God makes the difference. And when you're praying, friend, you're not wasting time. That's some of the most valuable time. Don't get weary in well-doing. Thank God for our bus workers and our children's church workers and our master club workers and anybody else that works anywhere, our nursery workers, all of those folks. Don't get weary in well-doing. Just keep on doing it. Keep on serving God. Keep on doing what's right. And don't let the devil get you down in doing the right kind of thing. We have people who work in every kind of ministry around here to get the job done. We have people that make my voice sound as good as they can back there. Sometimes they foul me up a little bit, and sometimes I foul them up a little bit. And they can always cut me off if they want to. Don't do it. But I thank God for them. And you know, when you make a mistake back there, by the way, if you think it's easy, why don't you go back there and let them train you? And then when they make a mistake, you won't have to turn around, or you'll know the feeling, rather. If you make a mistake, you'll know the feeling when everybody turns around and looks at you. Amen. It's going to happen, folks. The devil gets in sound systems. I didn't say the devil was in them, but the devil gets in sound systems. If ever there was something he could get in, it's that. And I'm convinced of that. But I'm just simply saying, whatever you're doing, don't get weary in well-doing, because Christian work is well-doing, and God will bless that. Charitable work is good too. Loving people and helping people out. They're poor people. You know, the Bible has a whole lot to say about helping poor people out. Now, as I said this morning, it's not socialism. Socialism takes from those who've worked hard and gives it to a lot of people who have not worked hard, and they make you do that. We don't want socialism or communism, but as God blesses us and God gives us the wherewithal, then by God's grace, we need to help other people out. And we need to loosen up our billfolds sometime, besides our tithes and offerings, to do that's a good work. I'm glad that we try to take care of our widow ladies in this church. Our deacons all have assignments, and they have widow ladies, and they check on those. If they're not checking on you, you let me know, but they check on them, and they're very good about it, and they help them out. Everything from hanging doors to robbing bees whatever needs to be done, they'll do it. Or to getting something done that they maybe cannot do. Because we believe, the Bible says, that's the way it ought to be done. Widows indeed. Unfortunately, there are some widows that nobody cares a lot about. You see, the Bible says it ought to be cousins and aunts and uncles and first of kin, and especially the children that ought to take care of them. But sometimes they don't. So where does the responsibility go after that? To the church. And it doesn't hurt us to help anyway, whether they're doing it or not, to go out and help them out. Don't get weary in doing stuff like that. The fatherless, thank God we're in the business of helping. We support some children's homes around the country where their parents don't want them, where they throw them out of the house, where some of them have problems, mother and daddy are in worse condition than they are spiritually, and somehow we're able to get them in those homes, they get saved, and they come back and make productive citizens in our country, because what we're doing is well-doing. Don't you think it's well-doing when we can help kids get off of drugs, and when we can help them to come to Christ, come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, I've had the responsibility and the privilege, you might say, of taking some of them to those places. Not only are they teenagers, by the way, some of them are adults. I remember taking a woman, another pastor and I, one time, and we took her to a place in Culloden, Georgia. And when we got her there, she had been drinking. Her husband had suggested to her that she drink just a little bit to calm her nerves at night, because she was having some physical problems. And he wasn't saved, but she was. Her brother was a preacher. Her Bible had names on the fly leaves inside of people she had led to the Lord Jesus Christ. She took bad advice from her husband, started drinking a little bit of whiskey or something, and then she became an alcoholic. By the way, that's where it always starts. You say, well, I'm not an alcoholic, I can quit any time. Would you be so kind as to prove it? If you can quit any time, then why in God's name don't you quit? Hurting your testimony anyway. You see, you're an alcoholic if you can't quit. And that's a sweet term. Really, the Bible term is, and I know folks don't like this, but the Bible term is drunkard. We dressed it up a little bit, but it's all the same thing. And by the way, it's not a sickness. If it is, why does the state package it and help us sell it and take money off of it if it's a sickness? That'd be insane, wouldn't it? It's not a sickness. It's a sin. But we help them out. We help sick people, visiting the sick. Another great ministry is to help people when they have failed. Let me tell you something, folks. My job and your job is not to kick them down when they fail. I want to tell you something. I have failed God at times in my life. I know that just shocks some of you. You have too. You wouldn't want everybody to know everything about your life tonight, would you? Would you want us to show it up here on the screen? I mean, every detail. Since you've been saved, even. We have all failed God. I'm glad I had somebody when I felt that I had failed God and things were not going right in my life. I can remember going through some real radical and traumatic days after I got out of Bible school. I started to say vacation Bible school. It wasn't a vacation, brother. Out of seminary and Bible school, and was in sales work for about a year. And I absolutely detested and hated doing what I was doing because God called me to do something else. And so there were some low valleys during that time along there. But you know what? I'm glad I had some friends who came along and said, hey, we're here for you and we love you and let's just keep on going and serving the Lord. I'm not saying I bit the dust in a great way in any way. I'm just saying thank God when people need help, our job is to help them, to love them. They need help. Boy, if it was your son or daughter, you'd want them to be loved. And you'd want everybody praying for them. What if it's my son or daughter? We need to do the same thing. That's a good work. Trying to encourage the brethren, helping those that are depressed and going through those problems. And the most common actions, the most simple activities can be sanctified and made holy if they're done in the name of Jesus for His honor and for His glory. Then they become holy things. Now, what causes weariness? Well, a lot of different things. But one of those things, and we have to be warned about it, one of the things it causes is bad examples of people who have already gotten weary. You see, if you're not careful, you'll let the people who have gotten weary, who are negative, who are critical, drag you down and get you to quit serving God like you should. Don't listen to those backslidden rascals. Don't listen to them. Listen to God. Serve God. Keep your eyes on God. If you look around at some people who used to and they're not anymore, you'll say, well, maybe it's time for me not to do it anymore. That's the wrong way to look at it. Serve God all your life. Keep your eyes on Jesus, on God, on the cause, on the command, on the commission that God has given us. Keep our eyes on the Lord, not on people around you, the bad example of others who have gotten weary in well-doing and dropped out or quit on God or gotten lukewarm or Laodicea. Another problem is there's some busybodies he talks about and gossips in the church. Listen, there are people who like to hinder other people who are trying to do something good. Don't listen to your critics. There's always somebody to criticize. Listen, if I felt like criticism ought to make me get out of the ministry, I'd just quit. I'd just walk out of here and quit, man. Because some of you are going to criticize something about this message on your way home. I can hear those guys saying this morning as they went home, I heard what preach said about tithing. But now let me tell you, wifey, he doesn't really know what he's talking about. Let me explain that to you. No. The Word of God. And we're going to be criticized. You do a good work, you'll be criticized. Some of you have criticized me for doing what I just did. You say, why did he change his voice and walk over there like that? I don't like that. So you'd have something to criticize. Don't let people who become gossipy and critical of the church and ministries. Listen, this is an imperfect organization with imperfect people. In case you don't know it, you're one of them. Thought I'd add that. And we have to love each other, forgive each other, and overlook some faults because we all have them. And you'll never find a perfect church. And you know what I'm going to say next. If you do, don't join it. You'll mess it up. For sure. There are no perfect churches. And we've got to love like God loves us. And be forgiving and not be critical. Unsaved people outside the church can discourage you. You try to live for Jesus. You go to the workplace. Well, they don't like you. You represent righteousness and holiness. And that interferes with their lifestyle. That interferes with their philosophy. Their way of thinking. And what they want to do. And just the fact that you show up bugs them. That's all right. Let them criticize you. You take a stand. You don't have to be mean about it. Be loving about it. Be kind about it. But you stand your ground and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they criticize you, don't let it rob you of your zeal. Just keep on doing what's right. And God's going to bless that. It'll be the right thing. Now, there's some reasons that I think we should not be weary in well-doing. And that's what our text is talking about. Be not weary in well-doing. That's what God said. Some reasons we should not be. One of the things is, as you're getting to that point, if the devil tries to get you down, just stop and look at all the good that has been done in your past. You know, every once in a while in the ministry, when things slow down a little bit and I get to thinking about it, and I think, well, man, I don't know. Folks aren't getting saved like I want them to be, and the baptistry's not being stirred as often as I'd like to see it, and all of that. And I always try to bring the blame right back to this podium right here. And I think about that. And you know, the old devil jump up on my shoulder and whisper in my ear and say, "You're sorry, preacher. You hadn't done much. You're not doing much. You ought to get out of the ministry. You ought to go start selling grave plots." Some have. Used cars, that'd be good. Brother Rigsby and I selling used cars. We'd break all records, I'm telling you, brother. Can you imagine that? Would you buy a car from either one of us? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. But go back and just now, I get to stopping and thinking, and I'll go back over the years in my mind, and a whole bunch of them now, and I start thinking about the George Allens, and I named some other people, and a guy that I led to the Lord, and this woman and this family and these people and those that got saved, and this one it changed, and then the ones who surrendered for the ministry and who are in the ministry and all that. And I have to do it. I have a file in my file cabinet that is called encouragement. And every time I get a letter from somebody that's encouraging letter, not many, but I get some, I put them in that file or something great like that. And every once in a while, I'll just pull it out, put it on my desk, and flip through it. And I'll say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. We hadn't broken a lot of records, but at least you said a steward, if he was faithful, you'd bless it and honor it." And so I'm glad for that. So just remember the good that's been done. You people who are serving the Lord, just think of all the good that's happened as you've been serving the Lord, because you were in your place doing what you're supposed to do. Whatever your ministry is, whatever the thing is that you do, people have been saved. You see, we had Bethany baptized tonight. Well, that was not because of me. That's because of her mother and her father, who are Christians. That's because of maybe a youth director who has influenced her. That's because of a camp that has influenced her. There are a whole lot of people that get involved in that. And we have to think of all the good that has been done. And you've been part of that. And then I think it's good to think of the self-denials of others for lesser causes. For lesser causes. You take the World Cup. Who wound up winning that? Argentina? Who was it? Spain. Oh, Spain. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Don. And okay. Spain won it. Well, let me tell you something. Those guys that won it, I wish they'd score more, but at any rate, those guys that won the thing, they paid a price to get there. They really did. Can anybody name the star of the team right now? Does anybody know the star? Shout it out if you know it. Oh, boy. And he worked so hard to get there, to be the great star and to get that medal and get all that stuff. And we don't even know his name. And he sacrificed all of that. Olympians. Boy, they pay a price to be in the Olympics and all of that. And name me who won some of those things in the winter. You might name a few of them, but you won't know a whole lot of them. And how many gold medals did we win, and so on and so forth. Some may know, but a lot don't. We don't even remember them. I can remember Ron and Don Styron. And the only reason I remember them, my best buddy's sister dated them, and they won something in the Olympics. It wasn't too long, and nobody, I'd be talking about them. I'd want to brag about the fact that I knew them, and people were like, "Who are they?" You know. Hey, they paid a price for something very temporal. Why in God's name can't we pay the price for something eternal? Amen. To sacrifice, to be dedicated to the work of the Lord for something that is not so inferior, like sports and golf and Olympics and all of those things. And then I think it would behoove us to remember that God is watching. God's watching your service. You see, He's not going to let our labor be in vain. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain in the Lord. Whatever labor you're doing for the Lord, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be rewarded for that. And our motives being right and all of that, God is watching us. Not only is He watching us, but God's almighty powerful hand is with us. If I told you, boy, my hand's with you, you'd say, well, la-di-da. But let me tell you something, God's hand is with you. Don't you think God's in this work with you? He rides the bus with you. He's up here with me tonight. He's with us everywhere we do. We get up to sing, He's with us. God is there. God is looking down with His mighty hand to bless us. And He smiles upon our service. God is pleased when we are serving Him. When we are well doing, He likes that. Just remember, though, who you're doing it for. May our motives always be right. You're not doing it for yourself. I think sometimes when we first get in the ministry, no reflection on my staff now, but I want to say something. But a lot of guys graduate and they've got a certificate of graduation in the left hand and the sin unto death in the right hand. They just want the preacher to die and get out of the way so they can get to church. And sometimes some of the people want that too, but they just want that to happen, you know. And a lot of times these young guys that come out of seminary, and man, it's just so obvious they want to make a name for themselves. We better be careful that we're not trying to make a name for ourselves, but that we're trying to lift up and glorify the name of Christ. I guess all of us go through a little bit of that, just a little bit of that. Maybe there's some exceptions, but we need to do it for the Lord. Well, activity's not enough, is it? It's got to be the right kind of activity. You know, somebody's real active tonight. I mean, probably more active than most of us. That's the devil. He's active right now. He has his demons trying to put things in your mind. Some of you already think about what you're going to eat. You didn't hear the last two things I said. You're thinking about what restaurant? What, am I going to get a hamburger? Am I going to get a salad? No, I can't do that. I'm on a diet. What am I going to do? What am I going to drink with it? When's he going to quit? It's about time. It's 7 o'clock. Time for him to quit. He's got 2 more minutes. I'm going to turn him off. It's true. You know it's true. Don't look at me like you think it's not true. Activity isn't enough. It has to be sanctified activity. Doing, well-doing for the glory of God. Now, what makes you want to do something like that anyway? What makes you want to be involved in well-doing? It's called regeneration. It's called being saved. It's called getting born again. And whenever you get born again, your doer will not just be doing, but it'll be well-doing. Because you're saved now and you want to serve the Lord. Usually it doesn't change the energy, but thank God it better and should change the direction of the energy to the glory of God. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap. If you faint not, thank God we need to keep serving the Lord. Be encouraged tonight in what you're doing. It is not in vain. And thank God we can tell people there's a way to go to heaven. Amen. And when we give out the gospel, if you're here without Christ tonight, I want to give you the gospel. The gospel is this: Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and arose. Amen. He paid your sin debt. You can have all your sins washed away tonight, put under the blood of Jesus Christ, be born again, and own your way to heaven, and know it. Because that's how you get saved. It's not the waterworks or it's not all of your good works. None of those things. Joining the church, not catechisms, not statues, not prayers for somebody else for you. It is you getting right with God, being born again, and coming to Him. And when you get saved, then your want to will change. Amen. You'll want to serve God with all your heart. Let's stand, please. Christian workers especially, but Christians in any phase and facet of your life, do you ever get weary in well-doing? The Bible says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Come to the Lord and ask Him to rejuvenate you and recharge your battery tonight, to speak to your heart and help you to keep on keeping on in well-doing, not give up, not let people discourage you. Keep on serving God. Keep on doing it. You'll never regret it. When you die and you stand before Jesus or the rapture takes place, you'll never regret doing well for the glory of God. Father, I pray that you would encourage these dear Christian people that are here tonight. If there's somebody here without Christ, I pray they'd be saved. But I pray, oh God, we would not grow weary, just as you've commanded us to not grow weary in well-doing and to keep on keeping on for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.